Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your church. We thank you for your people. Thank you for the joy of serving you. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And your people have come here today with joy. And I pray, Lord, the joy of the Lord will multiply in every life in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray as we remain faithful to your word, we pray that your faithfulness every day and every time will experience in Jesus' name. Touch the lives of your people. Turn everyone around. We're asking, Lord, that today your word will reach out to everyone and it will clear all the darkness, all the doubt, all the confusion in every life in Jesus' name. And we pray that you open our eyes of understanding. We'll behold wondrous, wonderful things out of your word in Jesus' name. Confirm your blessing upon every life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. God has blessed you already. You can sit down. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm reading to you here from verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. If you come back to the beginning of verse 1, it says, I charge thee therefore before God. I want you to take note of those words, before God. What does that mean? It means the presence of God. We know that God knows all things and he sees all things. He evaluates all things. He judges all things. All things we say and all things we do. He knows the responsibility we have been given because we are charged in his presence. He knows the word we ought to be obeying because we were taught in his presence. He knows the challenges we ought to face, and he knows the mountain where we ought to climb. He knows the level that our faith should have reached up because we are charged, we are commanded, we are commissioned before him. That is, in his presence, the charge was given in the presence of the Almighty God. And so then he notices, number one, the manner in which we carry out that charge. He notices the motive behind carrying out the charge. He notices the method by which we're carrying out the charge. The manner, the motive, the method of carrying out the charge are all in the presence of God, in the presence of Christ, in the presence of the judge. Look at that verse 1. Because he refers to him according to the scriptures, according to the totality of revelation of the scripture, he refers to God as judge. And he says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge both the quick, the living, and the dead, at his appearing and at his kingdom. We're talking about a judge that knows everything. A judge that will not need a witness. Did he do it? Did he not do it? Did he go there? Didn't he go there? Was he faithful? Was he not faithful? Did he abide in the word? Did he not abide in the word? He doesn't any witness because we're all the time before him. Everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go, he knows everything. We're looking at Psalm 139, Psalm 139. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. He knows our lifestyle. He knows our character. He knows everything. Nothing can be hidden away from him. Psalm 139, and I'm reading from verse 2. Psalm 139, we're looking at verse 2. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. is far off in heaven, and here we are on earth, and he knows your thoughts, he knows your mind, he knows your plans, he knows your motives, he knows everything. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. We're looking at Jeremiah chapter 23. The God who knows, the judge who knows, and nothing is hidden away from him. Jeremiah chapter 23, and I'm reading from verses 23 and 24. Am I a God at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself? Can anyone hide himself? Can any clever one, any crafty one, any hypocritical one, any deceptive one, can anyone hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do not I fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? That's why Paul the Apostle said, Timothy, I charge you in the presence of God, and from now on, that you receive that charge, you receive that commission, and you receive that commandment. He sees you, he knows you, he's always present, he's always watching. You cannot hide anything away from him. It's the judge that knows all things, not like the judges of the earth that you still need the people to argue and to reveal and to witness. No, he knows all things. Job chapter 42, reading from verse 2. Job chapter 42, verse 2. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholding from thee. That's God, that's the judge. That's the one that is evaluating everything we're doing. No thought, no motive, no intention, and no idea, and no action can be withheld from thee. It tells us in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and in verse 3, as God looks, he judges, he evaluates, he assesses everything that is done. And on the final day, he's going to see how we carried out the charge that he has given us. We're looking at 1 Samuel chapter 2, and the latter part of verse 3 there says, by him actions are weighed. By him, the judge, actions are weighed. From day to day, he evaluates. From day to day, he judges. And from day to day, he weighs all the actions. By him, actions are weighed. As we look at the word of God today, we want to remind ourselves that in all our conduct, in all our character, in all our service, in all the work we do, in all the ministry and the labor of our hand, let us always be conscious of the presence of God, the righteous judge. Today we're looking at the message, living righteously in the presence of the judge. Living righteously in the presence of the judge. The problem we have in the world is that we generally do not live in the presence of the judges of the earth. We do not live in the presence of the lawmakers and the law enforcement agents. We do not live in their presence. The problem we have is that children do not live in the presence of their father every time. Daughters do not live in the presence of their mother every time. I want you to imagine if it were possible that a child being raised in the family, everywhere that child goes, he goes to the class and the father said, I charge you, focus on your studies, focus on your life, focus on the goal, focus on what I sent you to do. I've not sent you there for extracurricular activities. I've not sent you there for entertainment. This is what I want to do. Imagine if it were possible that that father will spend full time going with the child everywhere. In a taxi, the father is there with him. In the bus, the father is there with him. In the class, the father is there with him. When temptations come, the father is there with him. Anything that happens, the father is always there, and the father is always looking at him face to face, eyeball to eyeball. Remember whose child you are. Remember, I'm watching you. Remember, I'm seeing everything you're doing. And remember, my favor and my mercy is going to continue on the basis of your faithfulness to what you're doing here. And if any temptation comes, the Father is there. He's saying, I'm here, I'm watching. I'm going to see your response. I'm going to see your action. That child will do something right every time. Look at what we're saying, that our own Heavenly Father is there every time. He listens to every conversation. He looks at every action. He looks at our thoughts. He looks at our motive. He sees everything, and we live in the presence of the final judge every time. Our problem is we're not conscious of that. Our problem is we don't understand. Our problem is we do not know that every little thing we say, every idle word we say, every ignorant thing we get involved in, every temptation we fall into, the judge is looking at us every time. And so I want to challenge ourselves and remind ourselves, living righteously in the presence of the judge. There are three things we're looking at. Number one, the prudent conviction of saints and their watchword. The prudent, that's the wise conviction. The prudent conviction of saints and their watchword. Point number two, the punishable corruption of sinners in the world. The punishable corruption of sinners in the world. Number three, the profitable consecration of his servants to the world. Our consecration to the Lord, our consecration, commitment, faithfulness to the judge, our consecration, faithfulness to the word of the Lord, the profitable consecration of his servants to the word. Point number one, point number one. Remind me of point number one. God bless you. The prudent conviction of saints and their watchword. Their watchword. What you are conscious of every time. I know God is watching me. I know God is listening. I know God is by my side. I know that everything I'm doing now is going on record. If you're conscious of that every time, if you have conviction of that every time, we'll come back to 2 Timothy. And we're looking at chapter 4. And I'm reading here from verse 1. What you need to be conscious of. The conviction you ought to have. The way you ought to live your life. The ground, the basis, and the foundation by which you live your life. The conviction you ought to have, and the mind you ought to have, and the knowledge you ought to have. We're looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God. I charge thee therefore before the Almighty. I charge you therefore before his majesty. I charge you therefore before the great judge of heaven and earth. That means then, you know that it's in the presence of the Lord. Presence of the Lord. Don't ever forget that before God. Before God, the challenge you have, and the conviction you have, and the charge you have is in the presence of that God. And as a conviction that God wanted everyone that ever followed him to have. He says, you're walking before me. You're living before me. You're acting before me. You're doing that before me. You're laboring before me. You're shining before me. Everything you're doing before him in his presence. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Genesis chapter 17, I'm reading from verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk, tell me. Walk before me. Walk in my presence. Sarah will not always be there, I'll always be there. And the king of Gerar will not always be there, I will always be there. And the friends and the enemies and the people that may know you, they may not always be with you. There are times you'll think you're alone. There are times you'll think you're by yourself. But I'm with you all the time. I feel the earth. I feel the heaven. Everything you do, every step you take, every direction you go, every corner you bend, every crossroad you find yourself, I'm there. Walk in my presence. Walk before me and be thou perfect. We're looking at Job chapter 13. And we're reading from verse 15. Job chapter 13. Reading from verse 15. Anything we do, everything we do, we're doing in the presence of the Lord. In Job chapter 13, reading from verse 15, it says, though he slay me, yet I will trust him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Before him. I know that I'm always before him because he's watching me. I know that, my wife said, curse God and die. I know that if I do that, you're hearing me. I'm here before you. I don't know what Satan is planning. I don't know what goes on behind the curtain or behind the fence. All I know is I'm always before him. And so I'm going to maintain, I'm going to keep my integrity, my own ways before him. We're looking at 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20, verse 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 31. And we're reading from verse 20. Reading from verse 21. It says, and thus did Hezekiah throughout all Judah, and wrought that which was good and right and true before the Lord is God. You see that when you're conscious that every step of the way and every bend of the way, any temptation that comes, any challenge that comes, you know that God is always there. He's by your right hand side there. He's looking at what you're doing. He's going to look at your reaction. He's going to look at your response to this thing that might be happening. And those who are conscious of that, of the saints of old, of the children of God of old, those who are conscious of that, of those who are in the family of God before, they always knew, whatever I do now, God is looking at everything. Whatever I say now, God is looking at everything. That temptation is coming to me. That trial is coming to me. My reaction now, God is going to be watching me and is going to be saying, do you think that's the right action of a real child of God? I'm watching you. Do you think that's the right response of a righteous man? I'm watching you. And we're told about this Hezekiah, that he did that which was good, that which was right, and that which was truthful before the Lord is God. Verse 21, and in every work that he began, in the service of the house of God, and in the law, and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. The secret of faithfulness is to understand, he's watching me. He knows me, and he's taking pleasure in what I am doing. I'm walking before him. I'm living before him. I am laboring before him. Everything I do, from the thought to the motive to the manner to the method to the real thing, is with me here, and he sees everything. If I go astray and yield to temptation, if I walk in darkness, if I go back to sin, I may hide from man, but he sees everything, and he's going to take note of everything. Chapter 34 of 2 Chronicles, verse 27. Chapter 34, reading from verse 27. It says in verse 27, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself before God, in the presence of God, before God. You know, the challenge came, the word was thrown to the king, and then he knew the Lord is here. He's going to see what's going to be my attitude to this word that is read to me. Am I going to despise it? Am I going to reject it? Am I going to ignore it? Am I going to avoid its consequence? Am I going to say, I don't care what is written there? But the Lord is watching my attitude, is watching my reaction, is watching my response. And we're told about this king, because thine heart was tender, and thou didst humble thyself in the presence of God, before God, when thou heardest his word against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, in my presence. I was watching you. I was there. I was looking at you. I was looking at your intent, looking at your action, looking at your heart. And you did render your clothes and weep before me. Look at that. The Lord is saying, before me, over and over. He says, I have even heard thee, says the Lord. He will hear your prayer. You must be conscious that you are before the Almighty God. I've been reading to you from the Old Testament scriptures, and it tells us that those people, the faithful people, the people that gave themselves fully to the Lord, to follow the ways of the Lord, they were conscious of the fact that they were before the Lord, before the Lord, before the Lord. In Luke, now this New Testament, Luke chapter 1, and I'm reading from verse 6. Luke chapter 1, reading from verse 6. The secret of faithfulness, be conscious, you are before God. And the secret of devotion to the Lord, be conscious, you are before God. The secret of uprightness, be conscious, you are before God. The secret of living and walking consistently in righteousness and holiness, be conscious, you are before the Lord every time. Luke chapter 1, verse 6. And they were both righteous before God. They say, well, it doesn't matter the understanding of the people of Israel. They may misinterpret the word. I'm not walking before them. I'm not concerned about their presence, about their ignorance, and about their knowledge. I'm doing it before God, in the presence of God. He knows the right interpretation of his word. And I'm going to work according to the interpretation that he himself gives. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless. I pray that that same blameless life, spotless life, the Lord will give to you in Jesus' name. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, we're reading from verse 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, and we're reading from verse 12. And the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love, one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end, for the purpose it may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness. Tell me what follows. Before God, he establishes your heart in holiness, in the presence of God. Christians are not, they're not conscious of this. They do not practice the presence of the Lord. You know, I want to say something. I say, no, I can't say that. Before God, I can't say that. In the presence of God, I can't say that. I want to maybe crack a kind of joke that, you know, it's not just on the negative side. It's on the other side of righteousness and uprightness. I cannot say that because, you know, we're in the presence of God. I want to, you know, tell somebody something. I'm thinking if I tell him the whole thing, if I tell him the truth in total, completely in total, he's going to wonder, how could that happen? And then if you want to modify it a little, change it a little, color it a little, you remember? But God is hearing, and God knows the real truth. And because of that consciousness of being before God, you live right. And thank God you are going to live right. I said, thank God you are going to live right. It says to the end, for the purpose that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We're coming back to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're reading from verse 1. It tells us in 2 Timothy. And in chapter 4, reading here from verse 1, it says, I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own laws shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Here we look at the corruption of sinners in the world. Punishable corruption. Perilous corruption. The kind of corruption that makes them perverts. Look at what it says about them. It says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That means they don't want the truth. They don't love the truth. And it says the time will come. Remember, this was written more than 2,000 years ago. The time has now come. The time has now come that men do not endure sound doctrine. And after their own laws, they will heed to themselves teachers having itching ears. That means they still want to hear something. They don't want to just stay like that. They want to go to an assembly. They want to go to a fellowship. They want to go to a church, a building. They want to say they are worshiping God, but don't like the teachers of the truths of the word of God or teachers of sound doctrine. Therefore, after they are lost, they will heap to themselves, or something, they'll pile up teachers unto themselves. They say, that's my teacher. He says what I like. He teaches what I want. And he reveals it just the way I want it. He doesn't read the whole Bible. He reads just the ones that will make me happy. And the one that will make me comfortable. And the one that will just make me feel what a great thing is happening over here. They heap up teachers. They pile up teachers. They pile up their books. They pile up their tapes. They pile up their messages in the cloud. They pile up all those messages, the things they want to hear. They have itching ears. And when something is itching in their ears, they say, who will tell me something that will comfort me? And then it says, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. I pray that will not happen to us. I didn't hear your amen very well. You know what changes preachers? You understand? Here you are. The preacher comes and it says that today I'm going to teach the word of God. I'm not going to deviate from the word of God. I'm not going to tell stories and fables and old women's stories. I'm going to go from verse to verse and all that. And then he does that on one meeting day. And then the following meeting day, the people are not there. The people, and they say, well, if that's his new style, if all he wants to be doing, he wants people to get to heaven. We're not thinking of heaven now. He wants holiness. We're not thinking of holiness now. He wants the truth and the truth and the truth. He says, this is the way, the narrow way that leads to heaven. That's the emphasis now. Okay, you can keep on preaching, but I'm not coming. Because they're going to go to other places that, people that will say the things they want to hear. I pray that will not happen to you. That's why preachers change. That's why preachers change. But those preachers who change, you know what? They're not thinking about God. They're not preaching in the presence of God. They're not leading the people in the presence of God. They do not understand that every message God is evaluating. They do not understand every presentation of the word God is evaluating. He knows the motive of the preacher. He knows the reason why the preacher is saying what he's saying, whether he just wants to gather crowd, so he can feel proud, so he can feel pumped up, so he can say, look at my congregation. I have a big congregation. Because of that, he's saying what they want to hear. He's not telling them the truth. What he's telling them will not bring repentance. What he's telling them will not bring a righteousness. What he's telling them will not bring submission to the Lord and the salvation of the Lord. But if you are a real preacher of the word of God, you understand, first of all, it is not what the people say about what you are preaching. It is what the Almighty God Himself is saying about what you are preaching. I pray you'll be faithful. I said you will be faithful. Jeremiah chapter 5, and we're reading from verse 31. In Jeremiah chapter 5, reading from verse 31, here the word of the Lord tells us, it says, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. They're prophesying falsely, they're preaching false doctrine, they're not telling them the truth. And the people who are supposed to know God, they love what those preachers were saying. But please understand that changing the truth does not change the truth. Changing the truth does not change the truth. Turning away from the truth does not change the truth. What I mean is this. For example, you have a wristwatch. If you change the time on your local wristwatch, That does not change the time. The time is still what the time is. There are times that, you know, they're asking for your age. And you say, how old are you? You might change your age. Changing your age does not really change your age. You're still as old as you are. Self-deception changes nothing. Self-deception, that is, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're not calling upon the Lord and you say you are saved. Self-deception does not change anything. Repent and believe ye the gospel. You're not repenting. I only believe. Changing the truth does not change anything. The truth is still the truth. Turning away from the truth, altering the truth, readjusting the truth, misinterpreting the truth, calling falsehood the truth, and keeping the truth away changes nothing. The truth is still the truth. I pray that we abide by the truth. I said we abide by the truth. Look at this in Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. We're reading from verse 20. Isaiah chapter 5. Reading from verse 20. Hear the word of God, makes it very clear. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20, it says, woe unto them that call evil good and call good evil. That doesn't change what is good. You call good evil, good is still good. You call evil good, evil is still evil. That puts darkness for light and light for darkness. That puts bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. It says in verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Look at verse 23. We justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumes the chaff, so shall their roots be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he has stretched forth his hand against them and has smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this, the anger of the Lord is not turned away, but his hand is stretched forth still. The Lord is telling us that instead of walking against the truth, we should walk along with the truth. It's like, you know, somebody, there's something we call the force of gravity. And gravity, that means if you throw something up, it will, what will happen? It will come down. And some people might call gravity by another name. They may make false confession about fire. You know, fire burns, and then somebody wants to deceive himself. He says, what I confess, I possess. What I confess, I possess. What I confess, I possess. I confess that fire will not burn. I confess that fire will not burn. I confess that fire will not burn. He confesses fire will not burn 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times, and after that, he jumps into the fire. What will happen? Your confession doesn't change fire. Your confession doesn't change gravity. If you walk against gravity, gravity will walk against you. If you walk against the fire will walk against you. All those statements, all the make-believe, you know, if I say it, I possess it, and you're saying the wrong thing, not according to the word of God, you're not going to have anything you're saying, because they're not the truth. I pray that God will keep us in the truth in Jesus' name. We're coming back to the New Testament now, and we're coming to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And I'm reading from verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The Lord doesn't want us to be deceived. You will not be deceived in Jesus' name. 2 Timothy now, chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We're reading from verse 2 and verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We need verses 2 and 5. But for you to get the flow of everything, I'm starting from verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. He's going to judge how you've done that. Be instant in season, out of season. He's going to judge how you've done that. Reprove and rebuke. He's going to find out. He's going to reveal to you the consequence of doing it or not doing it. Exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. And then it says, for the time will come that will discourage you. The time will come that will try to beat you back. The time will come that will try to mold you or keep you in the frame, so you will not do it because the people don't want to hear. But the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own laws they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away from the truth. And if you are standing by the truth, they turn away from you. They say, well, since you are, you know, just like that, narrow minded, and then you are walking the narrow path, and then you have all these ideas, sanctification, holiness, power, resisting temptation, and living a righteous life, and you are not changing, you are not deviating, we are turning away from the truth, and we are turning away from the teacher of the truth, they'll turn away from you. They'll turn away their attention, their affection, and their help, and their love for you. They will show you directly, we don't want the truth. And if you are consecrated and concentrating on the truth, we don't want you. And if you're a person that, you know, you feel so lonely, you don't know that God is with you, you feel so lonely, you don't know Christ is with you, you don't feel, so lonely, you don't know that the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, is with you, you feel lonely, you don't know the promises of God are there by you, for you, you feel lonely, you don't see the grace of God that is sufficient for you, you say, okay, if everybody is turning away, what am I going to do now? What are you going to do? Stand on your 2 feet and have a backbone and say, even if everybody hates me for it, I'm still going to declare the word of God, and God will stand by you in Jesus' name. They shall be turned unto fables, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, be full proof of thy ministry. You'll do it in Jesus' name. And the people that will, you know, they might treat all this and say, well, Paul was telling Timothy because Timothy was a minister. And then they say, well, that does not apply to me. Preach the word. That does not apply to me. Be instant in season, out of season. Does that apply to me? Reprove. Am I going to reprove anybody? I'm not a pastor. Rebuke. Am I going to rebuke anybody? I'm not a pastor. I'm not a preacher. Exhort with all suffering and doctrine. Am I going to do that? And then am I going to watch in all things and endure affliction and do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of my ministry? I'm not a servant of God. I'm not a bishop. I'm not an overseer. I'm not this. I'm not that. Let's see what the Lord is saying. Number one, what he's telling us, profitable consecration of his servants to the word. Number one, preach the word. Look at Mark chapter 16, and I'm reading from verse 15. Mark chapter 16, and we're reading from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. The apostles alone cannot do that. The evangelists alone cannot do that. And the paid workers in the church alone cannot do that. It's to everyone. Preach the word. Preach the gospel to every creature. You'll do it in Jesus' name. We're looking at Luke chapter 9, verse 16. And Jesus said unto him, not an apostle, and Jesus said unto him, or just coming to the Lord for the first time, and Jesus said unto him, this is a new person, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. He's giving us the work to do. We're going to do it. I said we're going to do it. You know the next line there in verse 2 Timothy chapter 4 in verse 2, it says, be instant in season and out of season. Be instant in season and out of season. What does that mean? You've heard sometimes, this is the season of planting. This is not the season of planting. Be instant in season at the time when is the time for planting, out of season when it's not the time for planting. And this is the time of reaping. Oh, this is not the time of reaping. Instant in season at the time of reaping. Instant out of season at the time when it's not the time of reaping. That means it's convenient, it's not convenient, reap. It's right, it's the right time, or it is a difficult time, go on reaping, instant in season and out of season. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, reading from verse 1. Acts of the Apostles chapter 8, verse 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. All the apostles remained in Jerusalem. All the other people were scattered. A time of persecution for everybody. And that wasn't a good time, an easy time. That wasn't a convenient time for them to still be preaching the gospel. You know what the word of God says? Preach the word in season and out of season. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, therefore, they that were scattered abroad by persecution, they that were scattered abroad outside their houses, they that were scattered abroad outside their communities, they went everywhere preaching the word. That's what they did in season and out of season. We can do it today. We'll do it today. And then look at verse 5. And then Philip went down. Philip, one of the seven, he was a deacon. He had a ministry in Jerusalem, but persecution had driven him away from that Jerusalem assignment and Jerusalem responsibility. He wasn't saying, oh, why not for persecution? I'm a deacon. Why not for persecution? I should be in Jerusalem now. I should be ministering. That one is gone. Another door is open. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them in season and out of season. As you look at that verse 2, it says, reprove and rebuke. Reprove and rebuke. That's your responsibility. Reprove and rebuke. We're looking at Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, we're reading from verse 3 and reading from verse 4. In Luke chapter 17, verse 3, it says in verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. This is given to every believer, every child of God. This is not only a Timothy. This is not only a bishop. This is not only an overseer. This is not only for a worker or for a leader. It's talking to everyone. You rebuke because it says, take heed unto yourself. If thy brother trespass against thee, it's done something and this against you. It's done something and this not right. Whether you feel I can do it or I cannot, I don't know his reaction. I don't know what he's going to say. Is this the season to do that? Is this the season not to do that? Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove and rebuke. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. If he repent, forgive him. If he trespass against thee seven times, when? Are you there? I say seven times when? In a day, then you'll keep malice. I can't hear you now. And then you'll turn the other way and say, okay, you know how to offend somebody. Seven times in a day, you did that to me, okay. You threw that thing at me, I'll throw it back to you. They've forgotten the evidence of salvation. They've forgotten the evidence of sanctification. It says, if you trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day, turn again to this saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Give me a good amen. Amen. We're also to reprove. We're looking at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're reading from verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, this is the charge. This is the commission. And this is the commandment. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. They're going into darkness. They're going into evil. You'll not say, I'm not a preacher. This is reaching for everyone. Don't have fellowship with the fruitful works of darkness. But when you see people going into darkness, you reprove them. And then it says in that 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 2, it says, exhort without long suffering and doctrine. Exhortation. Exhort. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 is the responsibility of everyone. It's the work that God has given everyone to do. In Hebrews chapter 3 verse 13, let me read from verse 12. It says, take heed, brethren, not just leaders, brethren, not just preachers. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But, brethren, exhort one another. Exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hiding through the deceitfulness of sin. We're to exhort our brethren. We're to exhort our friends. We're to exhort everyone that they're going astray, they're being hiding, that they're doing what is wrong. We exhort them, we counsel them, we advise them, we read the scriptures to them. In Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, reading from verse 25. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And then he tells us what to do this with long suffering. You're not to do it and say, okay, they're not hearing, then I stop. They're not changing, there I stop. They're not repenting, there I stop. They're hiding, therefore I stop. You do it even if you suffer for it. And you suffer for a long time, you do it with long suffering. It tells us in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and here we're looking at verse 2. Ephesians chapter 4, reading from verse 2. It tells us in this verse of scripture, it says, without lowliness, that's for everyone, and meekness, that's for everyone, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. He expects that you'll be patient with each other. You'll suffer long, even while you're trying to put people in the right way. You're counseling them, you're offering help unto them, and they're not bending, they're not yielding very easily. You keep on and keep on with long suffering. But he says also with doctrine, with long suffering and doctrine. Am I supposed to do that if I'm not a preacher? Am I supposed to concentrate on doctrine if I'm not a preacher? We're looking at Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. Romans chapter 6, reading from verse 17. It tells us in verse 17, but God be thanked that ye were servants of sin in the past, but now you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Doctrine is concerned. Doctrine shall be what you love, what you like, and doctrine shall be what you stand on. You're preaching the word, remember the doctrine? You're preaching the word of God, counseling, helping other people, exhorting them, encouraging them, building them up. Remember the doctrine of the word of God. It tells us in Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Romans chapter 17, chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, this for brethren, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learnt, and tell me, avoid them. And then he tells us in verse 5, watch thou in all things. Timothy, watch thou in all things. Well, I'm not a Timothy and I'm not a preacher. I'm not a pastor. Do I need to watch? Look at Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13, I'm reading to you from verse 37. It says, what I say unto you, I say unto all, give me the word. Watch. What I say unto you, I say to Peter, I say to John, I say to James, I say to all the apostles, I say it now to Timothy, now I'm saying it unto all. What I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. It tells us in Luke chapter 21, Luke chapter 21, reading from verse 34, Luke chapter 21, reading from verse 34, it says, take heed to yourselves, Lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that they come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the earth. Verse 36, everybody, watch. Again, out loud. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. And then he says, endure afflictions. Persecution will come. Difficulties will come. Challenges will come. And he says, where to endure. Let's come back to Mark chapter 13, reading from verse 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 13. You're a believer. You stand on righteousness in your office. You stand for righteousness in your home, in your community. You stand for righteousness. They're contributing money for idol worship. They want to go this way, that way. You say, I'm not part of that. I've given my heart and my life. I have a covenant with the Almighty God. I will not bend down to any idol anymore. And I will not spend my substance. I'll not spend anything I have on idol worship. They will hate you for that. But thank God you are going to watch. And thank God you are going to endure affliction. That's what why it says in Mark chapter 13, verse 13. Mark chapter 13, verse 13. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. He wants us to endure afflictions, endure difficulties, endure challenges, endure pressures, endure oppression, endure antagonism, endure. You'll endure in Jesus' name. Now do the work of an evangelist. What's the work of an evangelist? Seeking to save the lost. Reaching out there and telling the sinners and saying, come to the Lord. Rescue the perishing. And plead with those who are going astray. And tell them a Savior has died. It tells us in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, reading from verse 10. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And now he's giving us that same responsibility in verse 13. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds. And he said, occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. Occupy till I come. And now he says, make full proof of thy ministry. Make full proof of thy ministry. Prove that you're a real child of God. And prove that you are called by the Lord. And make full proof of that ministry you have received of the Lord. In Galatians chapter 6, I'm reading verses 4 and 5. In Galatians chapter 6, reading here from verse 4 and verse 5, it says, but let every man, not only the preacher, let every man, not only Timothy, let every man prove his own work. Make full proof of thy work of thy ministry. And then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own body. I pray when that time comes that we'll face the final judge, we'll face the impartial judge, we'll not be ashamed on that day. You will not be ashamed. And you'll come out victoriously, triumphantly in Jesus' name. That's why we need to examine ourselves and prove ourselves whether we're making full proof of our ministry and taking every step and doing everything according to the will, according to the way, according to the standard of the Lord over the scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, reading from verse 5. Examine yourselves as we look at this word that it says, preach the word, examine yourself. It says, be instant in season and out of season, examine yourself. And it says, what you reprove and rebuke, examine yourself. And it says, what you do to long suffering and doctrine, examine yourself. It says, what you watch in all things, don't be careless. Watch. Watch your way. Watch everything that you're doing. Watch that you're still in the middle of the road and you're at the center of the will of God. Examine yourselves. It says, you endure affliction. There should be self-denial. Difficulties come, challenges come, and then you check out. How are you? you enduring affliction, examine yourself. Do the work of a soul winner and the work of a preacher and the work of an evangelist occupy until I come. Examine yourself. Make full proof of the ministry. Examine yourself. Look at this. Examine yourself. Whether ye be in the faith, prove your own selves. Prove your own selves. Know ye not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you? Except ye be reprobate, you will not be a reprobate. You'll not be a backslider. You'll not turn away from the Lord. The calling of God has come upon your life. The favor of God has been upon your life. And he has now told you that there's going to be a final judgment day. He says, I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And then he tells us what to do. We're going to go to God now and ask for grace that all this charge that the Lord has given us, he has saved our souls, he has sanctified us, he's given us the power of the Holy Ghost so that we can be what he wants us to be and do. What he wants us to do, his grace is available for you. He will help you. He'll give you sufficient grace. You will keep the charge faithfully until the very end in Jesus' name. Your reward, nobody will take from you. Your crown, nobody will take from you. And that heaven, you have a place in heaven, you will not miss it in Jesus' name. Open your mouth and talk to the Lord in prayer. Lord, where I failed, forgive me. And where I have been faithful, help me to do more so that I will keep the charge until the very end. Pray and the grace of God will abide with you.